Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Before the break, we were talking about teaching math in Massachusetts schools and how important that is for our future workforce. Well, there's another mathematical concept that's absolutely critical to Massachusetts K-12 education. It's called the Foundation Budget Formula. Now, put simply, this is a state formula, and it produces a number that's very important for every school district in the Commonwealth. This number says two things. One, it sets a budget based on the number and kinds of students you have in your district. Now, this is the amount of money that the state says a district has to spend at a minimum for education. The other piece that comes out of the foundation budget, how much of that per district cost will be covered by the state. So you can imagine that the foundation budget formula is an important, even if wonky, piece of Massachusetts state policy. However, there's a catch, and yeah, it's a big one. The formula was first written in 1993, and it has not been updated once in the almost quarter century since. But the key cost drivers, of course, have changed, namely the cost of health care and special education. They're both rising much faster than currently accounted for in the formula. So there's a move on Beacon Hill now to change that. Today, State Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz presented a new bill that would rewrite the foundation budget. And Senator, you say that without this updating, the state's going to continue to be underfunding education, but by how much?
We are under-predicting what it costs to deliver education in Massachusetts between $1 and $2 billion a year. And that's billion with a B. That doesn't mean we are underspending quite that much, because districts are, in fact, spending what they are required to spend in many of those categories, most notably in healthcare and special education. They're fixed costs. But as a state partnership, we're falling short.
The state isn't providing what you believe it should be to local districts.
Yeah, or in many cases, what we are delivering as a state is being eaten up by the fixed costs. And I would give you as an example, the city of Chelsea. In the most recent year that we have data for, their healthcare tab was $6.7 million more than the formula predicted it was going to be. They're spending that $6.7 million. They have to. It's their fixed costs. But imagine if the formula accurately predicted and we gave aid as a state to Chelsea commensurate with what the formula says we should do if we're predicting the costs accurately. That would mean Chelsea would have $750,000 more per school, right, per year that Chelsea is not seeing right now in the classroom. Imagine you're a parent or a teacher or a community member or a student at one of those schools. You know, what could you do with $750,000 a year? You know, the art classes, the smaller class sizes, the additional social workers, guidance counselors, maybe a new soccer field, musical instruments, maybe a longer school day, the kind of schooling we all want for our kids.
I'm going to be more blunt about it. And I'm going to be more blunt about it and say, is what you're saying that things like healthcare costs have gotten so high, a lot of money is going towards that and not to, like you said, books, art class, music, mm-hmm. things like that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And it's not, and look, you know, school systems are facing the same dynamics that everybody else in America are facing. So healthcare costs have been rising everywhere in America, not just in Massachusetts, and in all parts of the economy, not just in education. But in education, we are seeing this dynamic where those costs are soaking up the dollars and, that, like you said, preventing them from getting to other places.
So this new bill that you're presenting would ask the state to update the formula that it uses so that we close that billion to $2 billion gap?
That's right. I have never in my time in politics in Massachusetts seen a consensus like this on an education policy issue. I mean, this level of consensus is unheard of since, I would say, the original 93 law. We've really got support from across the board.
Okay. That's a remarkable fact. I'm just going to inject a little bit, not necessarily of skepticism for your goal, but skepticism about the legislative process, because it's, you know, great. It's great that we can have consensus on this, but there's a lot of consensus on, you know, supporting things that we think are for the greater good. But the money's got to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's not going to fall out of the sky. Where's this $1 billion going to come from?
No, it sure doesn't come out of the sky. These are serious choices. These are serious choices that the bill calls upon us to make as a state. There was no easy answer here in 1993 either. There was no dedicated revenue stream, but we knew it was the right thing to do, and we knew it was the smart thing to do for our long-term prosperity as a state. And that's why we made that leap in 93. The trouble is the economy changes, knowledge advances over the course of time, and we have not modernized this formula to keep up with those changes over the past 10, 15 years.
On the other hand, you've put forth this proposal twice before, and it failed. I mean, it advanced out of the Senate, but then ran into roadblocks elsewhere. I mean, I heard you say that there's a lot of consensus now, but what makes you think that the outcome's going to be any different this time around?
I think what we saw last year was twice success rather than twice failure. You know, as more months have passed and more legislators have heard from their district stakeholders, from their superintendents, from their school committee members, from parents, from teachers, about the urgent need for this legislation, we have seen more and more supporters come on board. And I expect that momentum to continue.
So let me be more explicit about it. Do you believe there's support that this idea to change the foundation budget has support from House Speaker Robert DeLeo or Governor Charlie Baker, because both of them have sworn that they will not seek out new revenue sources. They're not going to raise taxes. So what do you make of that?
Well, Meghna, I appreciate you asking that question because that's your job to ask that question. But only those gentlemen can answer that question. You know, it's I cannot speak for them. These are never easy choices. These are big commitments that we're talking about as a state. But they're big commitments that pay big dividends. We've seen economists, leading economists from institutions across the state, including the Federal Reserve, talk very forcefully about the urgent unmet needs in our education sector. And I think that that's something that, you know, I hope will carry weight with both the speaker and the governor and with my other colleagues.
You know, I read the Foundation Budget Review Committee's report from a couple of years ago very carefully, and I was quite taken with the fact that you underscore in there that you believe, the committee believed then, that the state has a moral obligation to update this formula so that it provides adequate funding, especially to struggling districts, which may be facing the greatest achievement gaps in Massachusetts. I mean, that's a very potent argument to be making when thinking about the power of an equitable and strong education across the state. I just want to say that I noticed that part of the report, and I think it's worth mentioning again. But in addition to that, you know, $1 billion to $2 billion is an enormous amount. And I imagine that there are some people listening to this who are saying, how can it possibly be that we're shortchanging districts that much when, because of the 93 law, Massachusetts is largely considered to have some of the best public education in the nation? So it's like it doesn't quite square. It's like, are we the best? Or do we have this $2 billion gap? How can those two things exist simultaneously?
Right. How can they coexist? It's not that we're necessarily underspending by $2 billion, right? We are underpredicting what it costs to deliver education somewhere in the $1 to $2 billion range. Many districts are stepping up to the plate and really exerting a lot of effort, both in the Department of Finding Savings and in the Department of stretching their local dollars to meet those costs. Secondly, you asked about the issue of, you know, our overall achievement levels as a state, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone hears these reports. We're the best in the nation. Once again, you know, year after year, it's sort of like our sports teams, we're top in the list. And it's something that Massachusetts should be very proud of. But if you peel back that story even one layer, what you see is that our highs are very high in Massachusetts compared to other states. But some of our lows are also way, way lower than those highs. So we have these huge gaps. We have the highest levels of achievement. We also have some of the highest levels of inequality. We have demonstrated over the last quarter century that we know how to do education, we know how to get it right, and we can achieve really high in many parts of the state. We have an obligation to make sure that we extend that excellence to every child. And that's what we promised in 1993.
Well, Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz is speaking to us today from the Massachusetts State House. Senator Chang-Diaz, thank you so very much.
Absolutely, Meghna. Thanks so much for your attention to this issue. I can't think of a more important one for the state.